All right, welcome to the deep dive, everybody. Today we're heading to Japan. And whether you're, someone who's dreaming of going there yourself one day or just fascinated by it from, afar, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode.
Totally.
We've got a ton of great source material to work with today. We've got some personal travel blogs that detail a crazy extensive 3-week trip across Japan.
Wow.
We've also got a couple blogs that are, more specifically focused on Tokyo and Kyoto, and then just, a ton of just great travel tips, general observations, that sort of thing.
Very cool.
So our mission today is to, sift through all this material and really pull out the most insightful, the most practical information that can help someone listening to this really understand, what makes Japan so special,
Right.
and hopefully equip you with some, actionable knowledge if you're planning on going there yourself one day.
Yeah, and what I think is so cool about this batch of sources is that you really get that mix of like personal experience alongside like, more factual stuff.
Yeah.
So it's not just like, here's a list of things to see.
Right.
You actually get a feel for what it's like to be there.
Exactly. So let's start by kind of just getting an overview of this massive 3-week trip.
Okay.
So, the traveler starts in Tokyo, they spend a good amount of time there, then they head out to Hakone, the Mount Fuji region.
Nice.
From there, they go down to Kyoto, they check out Nara, they hit Osaka, and then they go back to Tokyo for their final couple days in the country.
Wow, okay.
And one thing that, consistently popped up in the blog was how incredible and reliable and efficient the public transportation was throughout the entire country.
Well, and that's one of the things Japan's known for, right?
Totally, yeah.
Like those trains run on time, man.
Yeah.
And I think it speaks to a larger cultural value there,
Yeah.
like punctuality is huge. They've invested so much in their infrastructure. And, for someone visiting Japan, it means that you can really get around easily. You
Right.
can rely on that schedule
Exactly.
and you don't have to constantly worry about delays and stuff like that.
You're not going to miss your train.
Right.
You're not going to miss your bus. It's,
Exactly.
pretty incredible. So let's kind of zoom in on Tokyo a little bit.
Okay.
The blogs really present it as this hub, this energy.
Yeah.
One minute the traveler's talking about just the crazy energy of Shinjuku, and then the next they're at, Sensori Temple in Asakusa,
Oh, wow.
talking about the history. And it really seems like a city that just embraces like both the past and the future all at once.
I mean, I think that's what a lot of people find so interesting about Japan, right? That
Yeah.
mix of tradition and modernity.
Yeah.
But I'm curious, did the blogs talk about how the Japanese people themselves, kind of navigate that?
That's a great question. Yeah, one of the bloggers did reflect on that, and it sounded like it was just, so seamlessly woven into the fabric of daily life that it wasn't even something they, consciously thought about. It just was.
Interesting.
But to answer your question about specific experiences, I mean, yeah, there were a ton, starting with navigating the organized chaos of Shibuya Crossing. I mean, have you seen videos of that?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like everyone just goes at once, but somehow it all works.
Right. Then, exploring the super unique street style and shops in Takeshita Street in Harajuku.
Oh, I've heard that place is wild.
It's wild. And then, like, right near there, you've got, the Meiji Shrine, which
Bit
is, very peaceful.
of a contrast.
Yeah, dedicated to Emperor Meiji and Empress Shokin. And, they also went to the Shinjuku Gyoen National Garden, which is, another kind of peaceful oasis in the middle of all the chaos. And of course, they went up the Tokyo Skytree, got those panoramic views, said that you can sometimes even see Mount Fuji on a clear day.
Wow, that's awesome.
And then, the Akihabara district.
Oh, that's the electronics and anime place, right?
Exactly,
Things are still
yes.
cool.
Full of, electronics and anime and gaming and, all that kind of stuff.
I mean, I'd have to spend a lot of time there.
Oh, yeah.
Like, a lot of
You'd
time.
need a whole week just for that.
For sure, yeah.
And then they did a sushi making class at Tsukiji Outer Market, which sounds like a pretty cool experience.
Oh, that's so cool. It's funny. I feel like sometimes those touristy things can actually be the best way to, like, really learn about something,
Totally.
especially something like sushi. There's a whole art to it.
Yeah.
It's not just, throwing some rice and fish together.
No, not at all. So we also have this other blog post that is solely focused on Tokyo. And it gets into even more detail, provides some really awesome practical tips, and even some like kind of off the beaten path stuff.
After cool. Like what?
Well, for example, they highly recommend the Open Top City tour
Oh,
bus,
yeah.
which, you know, I can imagine would be a great way to just kind of get your bearings, get a good overview of the city, you
Yeah.
know?
Yeah. Especially because Tokyo is so vast, right?
Yeah.
So,
Yeah.
I mean, just to get a sense of the layout, that makes a lot of sense.
Exactly. They also had some great advice on timing your visits to certain attractions,
Okay.
like going to Tokyo Tower around sunset for the best photos. But you got to keep in mind the closing time.
Right.
Same thing with the Tokyo Skytree.
Oh, yeah. Good point.
You know, you don't want to get all the way up there and then, you know, have to rush.
No, absolutely.
And then, of course, there's the classic Mount Fuji day trip, which is a must do.
Of course, yeah.
But they cautioned that, you know, cloud cover can be an issue.
Right.
So you might not always get that picture perfect view.
Yeah, I guess that's true with any mountain, right? You kind of got to hope for good weather.
Yeah, exactly. But some other cool recommendations that came up in that Tokyo blog were taking a walking food and culture tour, visiting the Shinjuku Samurai Museum,
Oh, wow.
the Tokyo Digital Art Museum, which is called Team Lab Borderless, and it sounds like super immersive.
Oh, yeah, I've heard of that, like projections and lights and all sorts of crazy stuff, right?
Yeah. And then just something as simple as, you know, embracing the act of walking. You know, just really exploring different neighborhoods on foot and seeing how the character changes from one to the
I
next.
mean, it's got to be the best way to like really get a feel for a city, right?
Truly.
Just being at street level.
Yeah. And then lastly, they recommend the new Transit Yurikamome,
Okay.
which is, I guess, kind of a train line, but it's elevated.
Yeah.
And it takes you over the Rainbow Bridge and gives you these incredible views of the bay and the
Even that
skyline.
sounds pretty awesome.
Yeah. It's worth noting that, you know, Tokyo is generally considered a safe city, but, you know, like any major city, you got to be smart, be aware of your surroundings,
Right, of course.
and, you know, be cautious as you would anywhere else.
Yeah.
And the other thing about Tokyo is it can be an expensive city
Yeah.
unless, you know, you really dive into the street food scene, which, you know, is always a good option anyway.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny, like, I feel like the best food in any city is often, like, the cheap stuff.
Oh, yeah.
The street food, you know.
Yeah.
It's where the locals eat.
Absolutely. All right, so let's shift gears
Okay.
and head out to Hakone and the Mount Fuji region.
All right.
So this definitely seems like a bit of a change of pace, you know,
Yeah.
more relaxed, more scenic.
Okay.
Hakone is described as this idyllic hot spring retreat. You can easily get there from Tokyo on the romance car, which is this, you know, kind of charming sounding train.
This is romantic.
Yeah. And the big draw here is, you know, the opportunity to unwind in an onsen, which is, you know, a traditional Japanese hot spring bath. And a lot of these have views of Mount Fuji. So, I mean, talk about a bucket list
So,
experience.
yeah, definitely. Like, can you imagine just soaking in that hot spring, looking out at Mount Fuji?
Yeah.
So peaceful.
Unbelievable. It's not just onsen in Hakone. They also have the Hakone Ropeway, which takes you up, you know, for these panoramic views. And then you can do a cruise on Lake Ashi.
Oh, wow.
And you can actually see the Hakone Shrine's Torii Gate, which seems like it's just, you know, floating on the water.
Really? Oh, I have
Yes.
some pictures of that. It's beautiful.
It's stunning. And then from Hakone, they went to Kawaguchiko, which is, I guess, like even closer to Mount Fuji.
Okay.
And apparently the sunrise view from the Chiirito Pagoda is like absolutely incredible, like postcard perfect.
Wow.
And then they rented bikes and cycled around Lake Kawaguchi,
Nice.
which also sounds really lovely. And they also stopped by the village of Oshinohakai, which has these like crystal clear ponds that are fed by the snow melt from Mount Fuji.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, really, it's all about the scenery in this part of Japan.
Yeah, it sounds just stunning.
Yeah. All right, so let's continue on our journey.
Right.
We're heading to Kyoto, Nara, and Osaka.
Oh, classic Japan.
Right. So Kyoto, being the former imperial capital, is described as, you know, just this city of timeless beauty, you know, rich in history, and there are just so many incredible sights to see there.
Kind of like what?
Well, you know, first and foremost, you gotta see Kinkaku-ji, the Golden
Oh,
Pavilion.
yeah, iconic. The one that like reflects in the water.
And then the Arashiyama Bamboo Forest, which, you know, it's almost ethereal.
I've seen pictures, yeah.
And then, you know, no trip to Kyoto is complete without experiencing Gion, which is, the geisha district.
Right, of course. And a lot of people rent kimonos and stuff like that to walk around there, right?
Exactly.
I'd love to do that.
Yeah. And of course, you got to go to Fushimi Inari Shrine, which is that iconic shrine with, thousands of those vibrant red torii gate.
Yes. It's like one of the most recognizable places in Japan.
Right. It's so cool. And then they took a day trip to Nara,
Okay.
which also sounds pretty
What's
amazing.
in Nara?
Well, first of all, you've got Todaiji Temple, which houses the great Buddha statue,
Okay.
which is, I mean, it's colossal, it's huge,
Yeah.
but the real stars of the show in Nara are the deer.
Deer. Like what? In the city?
Yeah, they're like everywhere in Nara Park,
Really?
and they're super friendly, and they're considered messengers of the gods.
Oh, wow.
So there's like a whole etiquette around interacting with them.
Like what?
Well, you can buy these special deer crackers called Shikasenbei,
Okay.
and you feed them to the deer, but you're supposed to like bow to them first.
You bow to the deer.
Yeah, like as a sign of respect.
That's so
And
cool.
apparently they bow back.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. The blogs noted that Nara is definitely a bit more, slower paced, more laid back than Kyoto or Tokyo.
Yeah, I mean, I can imagine, like, after the craziness of those big cities, it must be nice to have that contrast.
Totally. They also recommend checking out Kasuga Taisha Shrine in Nara,
Okay.
which is known for its beautiful moss-covered stone lanterns. And they said, late afternoon is a really nice time to visit.
Oh, yeah. Like as the sun's setting.
Yeah. And then you can scroll through Naramachi, which is the old merchant district.
Okay.
Lots of, charming cafes and traditional craft shops, and you can, get some authentic matcha there.
Oh, nice.
All right. So in contrast to that tranquility of Nara, we've got Osaka, which is just like, bursting with energy
Okay.
and especially known for its street food scene.
Oh, yeah, Osaka, like the food capital of Japan, right?
Right. So, the blogs mention the neon lights of Dotonbori,
Yeah.
the Glico Running Man sign.
Of course. Iconic.
You got to try takoyaki and okonomiyaki while you're there.
Oh, those sound good. What are they?
So takoyaki are like these little like balls of batter
Okay.
filled with octopus.
Ooh, okay.
And okonomiyaki is, it's kind of like a savory pancake,
Okay.
but it's got like cabbage and meat and all sorts of different toppings.
Sounds delicious.
Yeah, they're both really, really good. They also, spent some time at Osaka Castle and went up the Umeda Sky Building for those, panoramic city views.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it sounds like Osaka just offers a completely different flavor compared to like the more traditional Kyoto.
Yeah, definitely more modern and, bustling.
Right, exactly. So now let's talk about something that I think a lot of people are curious about,
Okay.
which is geisha, gaiko, and maiko.
Ah, yes.
There's a lot of, I think, confusion about these terms and what the roles actually entail.
Right.
So, to clarify, in Kyoto, they're traditionally called gaiko,
Okay.
and in Tokyo, the term geisha is more commonly used. But essentially, they're the same thing.
Okay.
They're highly skilled entertainers. They wear the elaborate kimono, the hairstyle, the makeup.
Yeah.
But it's not just about their appearance.
Right.
They're trained in music, singing, dancing, often involving the shamisen, which is, a traditional Japanese stringed instrument.
Right.
They're also skilled conversationalists and, they gracefully serve drinks. So it's an art form.
Yeah, it's like years and years of training, right? So
Exactly.
like perfect those skills. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah. So now the distinction between a gaiko or geisha and
Okay.
a maiko is an apprentice.
Okay.
She's younger and she's, training to become a fully fledged gaiko or geisha.
Oh, so they're like learning the ropes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And sometimes maiko is actually translated as like dancing child.
Dancing child.
Yeah.
Interesting. And in Tokyo, an apprentice is also sometimes called a hangyoku.
So, something to keep in mind, when you're in Japan, you're going to see a lot of people wearing kimonos, especially in Gion.
Yeah.
But the blogs point out that most of those are tourists.
Oh, really?
Yeah, often Japanese tourists. Like you
Okay.
can rent kimonos and, take pictures and stuff.
Yeah.
And the real geisha and maiko, they don't typically allow photographs unless it's, a private engagement or a paid
Right.
performance.
So you're not going to just see them like out and about posing for pictures.
Not really, no. All right, so let's move on to another fascinating aspect of Japan, which is the rail network.
Okay.
So, I mean, it is legendary for its efficiency and reliability.
Oh, yeah. Like, I feel like everyone's heard of, the bullet trains and how they run perfectly on time.
Right, exactly. So the Shinkansen, which is the bullet train, it can reach speeds of up to 320 kilometers per hour.
That's so fast.
It's so fast, and they're incredibly punctual,
Yeah.
down to the minute.
And are they comfortable?
Oh yeah, they're very comfortable. They offer both reserved and non-reserved seating.
Okay.
And they have, a whole network of lines that connect major cities all across Japan.
Right.
So like the Tokaido line, which is the main one, that goes from like Tokyo to Nagoya to Kyoto to Osaka, but they also have, lines going up north, lines going down south. It's a whole thing.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And the Shinkansen really makes it so easy to get around.
Right. Like if you're planning a trip with, multiple cities, it
Exactly.
just makes it so much more manageable.
Absolutely. So then beyond the Shinkansen, you've got all these local and regional trains,
Okay.
which include both JR lines, which is Japan Railways, and then some private lines.
Okay.
And they have like different tiers of service.
Like what?
So you've got like the limited express trains, which are faster, but you often have to pay like a special supplement.
Okay.
But they're great for like mid-range distances, like the Narita Express that takes you from Tokyo to the airport. And then you've got rapid and express trains, which make fewer stops than local trains.
Right.
And then you've got the local trains that stop at every single station.
Right, so you can really get off the beaten path if you want to.
Exactly. Yeah. And then, of course, Tokyo and Osaka have their own incredibly intricate metro systems.
Yeah.
And then you've got all the urban rail lines connecting the suburbs and everything.
I mean, it sounds kind of daunting, to navigate all of that.
I can imagine it can be.
But I guess it's all pretty well organized.
Oh, yeah.
Like good signage and stuff.
Very well organized, yeah. And a lot of the signage is in English as well.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, especially in the tourist areas. But one thing that's helpful in Tokyo is to familiarize yourself with the Yamanote line, which is that circular line that connects a lot of the key districts.
Oh, right, yeah.
So that one's a good one to know. And then if you're looking for something a little bit, more charming, more scenic, Japan also has a number of specialty trains.
Really?
Yeah.
Like what?
So like the romance car we mentioned earlier that goes from Tokyo to Hakone,
Yeah.
that's one. They also have the Sagano Scenic Railway in Kyoto.
Okay.
And then, a bunch of other kind of luxury or themed trains that take you through beautiful landscapes.
That's awesome. So you can actually make like the train ride part of the experience.
Exactly. Yeah. It's not just about getting from point A to point B.
Right?
It's, it's part of the enjoyment.
Yeah.
All right. So now when it comes to train travel in Japan, as with any really efficient system, there's definitely like a certain etiquette,
Oh.
things to keep in mind. So the blogs really emphasize being quiet on the trains out of respect for other passengers.
Yeah, it makes sense.
You always line up in an orderly fashion when you're boarding. And generally, eating on local trains is kind of frowned upon.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But on longer journeys, like especially on the Shinkansen,
Yeah.
it's totally fine and even encouraged to enjoy what they call an ekiben.
What's an ikebin?
It's like a bento box,
Oh.
but it's specifically for train journeys,
Okay.
and they're often really elaborate and beautifully presented.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. And then priority seating is also a big thing in Japan. So, make sure you're only using those seats if you actually need them.
Right, of course.
And in terms of ticketing, the Japan Rail Pass or the JR Pass is a really great option if you're planning on doing a lot of intercity travel,
Okay.
especially if you're going to be using the Shinkansen.
Yeah.
But it does have some exclusions.
Right.
So you got to, check the details and make sure it actually makes sense for your itinerary.
Yeah.
And then for local travel within cities and stuff, the prepaid IC cards like Suica and Pasmo are super convenient. You just, tap on, tap off.
Yeah, like we have those in some cities here
No,
too. They
exactly.
make it so
They
easy.
do. And then you can also just buy single tickets or they have regional rail passes.
Right.
So it really just depends on your specific travel plans.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move on to some more general tips and observations about traveling in Japan.
Okay.
The blogs really provide a lot of good insights here.
Like what?
Well, first of all, and this is kind of funny,
Okay.
they recommend bringing your own cereal if you're a cereal person.
Cereal.
Yeah, apparently it can be hard to find like familiar brands there.
Oh, interesting.
So if you're, someone who needs their cereal in the morning,
Yeah.
pack it.
Good to know.
They also strongly recommend getting your phone unlocked before you go so that you can use a local SIM card,
Right.
which is, you know, the way to go.
For data and stuff.
Yeah, for data. And it's often unlimited. But the local SIM cards usually don't have like calling capabilities.
Oh, okay. Just data.
Yeah, so, you know, keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And if you decide not to get a local SIM, make sure you turn off your roaming.
Oh, right.
Or else, you know, you might get hit with some crazy charges.
Absolutely, yeah.
Wi-Fi is pretty widely available, so that's good. And then in terms of electricity,
Yeah.
they use the same two-pin plugs as in the US.
Okay, so we don't need an adapter.
No, you should be good.
Good to know.
They really emphasize the importance of carrying cash,
Okay.
especially outside of Tokyo.
Right.
Like, you know, a lot of smaller places might not take cards.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And be prepared for all kinds of weather.
Okay.
Japan can be, you know, sunny one minute and then raining the next.
Yeah, I guess that's true for a lot of island nations, right?
Check if your hotel offers an airport limousine bus.
Oh, okay.
That can be a really convenient way to get to and from the airport. Definitely download Google Translate. It'll come in handy.
Yeah, I can imagine.
When you're ordering drinks, if you want a hot drink, make sure you specify hot.
Oh, interesting. Why is that?
I guess a lot of drinks come cold by default.
Oh, okay.
And be aware that Japanese baths, the onsen, are traditionally nude.
Yeah, I've heard that.
So, you know, no swimsuits.
Just go in as you are. Okay.
And another thing to keep in mind is that in Japanese restaurants, you know, your meal might arrive all at once.
Oh, interesting.
It's not like ordering courses separately.
Yeah, so like your appetizer, your main course, everything just comes out at the same time.
Pretty much, yeah.
Okay.
And always return a bow when someone bows to you.
Right, that's just polite.
Yeah,
Oh.
very important.
Yeah.
The JR Pass and Suica or Pasmo, again, those are kind of must-haves for, you know, getting around.
Okay.
Apparently, mosquitoes aren't a huge problem,
Well,
but they do have other biting insects, so, you know.
yeah, good to know.
Especially if you're in the countryside or parks, non-Japanese food, it tends to be way more expensive.
Oh, interesting.
So definitely, you know, take advantage of all the amazing local cuisine while you're there.
Right.
And when you're using the metro,
Yeah.
you know, give yourself extra time
Okay.
because it's easy to get turned around.
Especially if you're underground.
Oh, yeah.
Like you lose your sense of direction.
Totally. And use Google Maps to check taxi fares before you just, you know, hop in one.
Yeah, good point.
Because sometimes the train is actually cheaper,
Right.
especially for short distances.
Yeah.
Another great tip is to screenshot your Google Maps routes, especially when you're underground,
Oh, smart.
because the app can like get a little confused when you're switching between
All
lines.
right, yeah, it loses the signal sometimes.
Exactly. They recommend trying to arrive on your flight in the mid-morning.
Okay.
That way you have time to, you know, activate your SIM card, activate your JR pass, get to your hotel, all that stuff.
Right.